us remain standing as we look to the Lord in prayer. And Brother David Hannibal, would you lead us, please, in our prayer?
Our Father, we want to thank you.
Brother David. Be seated, and don't you just love the sound of children? Oh, I tell you, we appreciate that. Yes, sir. She gets that from her daddy. It's good to have Brother Dave Hannibal Jr. over here with us today, isn't it? And Joy, you'd think that she'd be back in Michigan, but she likes it out here too. So we're going to keep her out here too for a while. Amen? And I'll tell you, Brother David Sr. looks good back there too. He'd rather be here than in the best hospital in town. Amen. Amen. And I was just telling him back there, because of his problems, that he went to the hospital last week. You guessed it. It's that fungus stuff that's growing on his face. Well, that's what my wife tells me when I don't shave, David. Good to see y'all today. We're glad that you're here. Come out to worship the Lord with us. And we're glad to have Sam and Betsy back all the way from Brazil. And Brother Sam's going to be telling us about his experiences down in Brazil on the mission field in the service tonight. So you want to come out and hear him. First-hand report from the country of Brazil. Did you see his hat today? Wave your hat so everybody can see. That's it. By the way, it is summertime in Brazil. Isn't it amazing? You know, we have here in the United States so much cold weather in different places and things like that. And I told many of you at Sunday school this morning, yesterday morning I had a call from Danny Layton. Danny lives in Japan. And I says, it was 8 o'clock here when he called me. 8 o'clock on a Saturday morning. I said, Danny, what time is it over there where you are? And he said, it's 1 o'clock Sunday morning. So I guess it's already Monday over there. If you want to find out what's going to happen, you know, you call over there, because they're a day ahead of us. 14 hours. 14 hours. That's a long time. Anyway.
That's the young man we've been praying for, Steve Guthrie. Went home to be with the Lord on Friday.
Steve Guthrie went home to be with the Lord on Friday. We didn't get that in our bulletin. But remember that. Remember the Guthries. Okay?
I just want to thank everybody for their prayers. God is good. You know, you go through things in life. Everybody here probably has. But the Lord gave me, He gave me songs the entire time.
Amen. All right.
Hallelujah.
We're just grateful to the Lord. Get it.
Okay, I remember everybody filled the baby bottles. I saw her last week, and we gave, with a little help outside, $396.
Amen.
And her schedule is really cool, so she will present her ministry perhaps next month. That's what I'm working for.
All right.
Yeah.
Amen. That's good. All right. Let's sing another song. You did a real good job on that other one.
534.
By the way, Debbie, are you going to sing for us today?
Jesus is all the world. She is still called the Lord. Mary, the Mother of God, joy in our Lord. He is.
Amen. Brother Roger, would you lead us in prayer?
Father, again, we are ever so grateful that we have this place that we can gather, sing songs unto you, hear your word being taught and preached here. Quiet our hearts and minds now, Lord, that we would be attentive to what the pastor has to say to each and one of you. Father, we thank you for your provisions for each and every family member here, Lord, and as we partake of this offering, we ask that you not only multiply it here in this corner, but the mission fields we support around the world, and we will give you honor, glory, and praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Brother Johnny Holmes, do you have a song for us this morning?
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
You know, at times, my heart gets troubled and the little trials I'm going through seem big to me. But you know what, then I think about it. I said, Johnny, don't just go ahead, because one day it's going to be all over with. And one of these days, I'm going to go. And for all eternity, go and dwell in the presence of my Lord. Please.
Amen.
Just over Jordan, well, the redeemed forever abide, where sorrow can come and death cannot enter. Forever I'll be by my Savior's side. I'm gonna go there where the river is flowing. I'm gonna go there, every face is glowing. I'm gonna go where nobody's feeble, tired, and old. I'm gonna go there, every day is just dearer. I'm gonna go there, every step I'm nearer. I'm gonna go there, hallelujah. I'm gonna go there. I can feel sweet breeze from glory blow over my soul. Rain, sunshine, and rain is but a small glimpse of the glory that's waiting. Well, all is at peace, and my Jesus will reign. I'm gonna go there where the river is flowing. I'm gonna go there, happy faces are glowing. I'm gonna go where nobody's feeble, tired, and old. gonna go there. Every day it gets dearer. I'm gonna go there. Every step I'm nearer. I'm gonna go there. Hallelujah. I'm gonna go there. I'm gonna go there to join God's fold. I'm gonna go there to walk the streets of gold. I'm gonna go where nobody's feeble, not tired at all. I'm gonna go there where the angels are singing. I'm gonna go there, their gold hearts are ringing. I'm gonna go there, now hallelujah. I'm gonna go there. I'm gonna go there. I'm gonna go there. I'm gonna go where nobody's feeble, not tired.
Let's open our Bibles to Luke chapter 8. And let's go down to verse 41 to begin our reading here. Luke chapter 8, verse 41. And behold. Now, you run across that word behold many times in your Bible. And I always think of that as being like a stop sign down here on the road. You drive down the road, you see a stop sign, you stop. And you look both ways before you cross through the intersection. And that's what the word behold is. When you see behold, it means stop and look and listen. Something exciting is going to happen here. And behold, here he is. There came a man named Jairus. And he was a ruler of the synagogue. You know, the Jews had synagogues. The Muslims have their mosque. Christians have their churches. And the Jews, they worship on Saturday, and Muslims worship on Friday, and Christians worship on Sunday. And so this is a synagogue, and this fellow Jairus he's the pastor of the church. Okay? We can understand it that way. Well, when he came, notice what happened. He came to Jesus, and he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him, begged him, that he would come into his house, for he had one only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay a dying. Isn't that terrible? Boy, this is really sad, isn't it? I mean, here you've got a little 12-year-old girl, and she's dying, and her dad comes to Jesus. But as he went, the people thronged him. That's Jesus there. He's got a multitude of people all around him. And a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood staunched. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" when all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, Master, the multitude thronged thee and pressed thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? And Jesus said, somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me. And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling, and falling down before him, she declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, Daughter, be of good comfort, thy faith hath made thee whole, go in peace. While he yet spake, there cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, Thy master is dead, or thy daughter is dead, trouble not the master. But when Jesus heard it, he answered him, saying, Fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole. And when he came into the house, he suffered no man to go in, save Peter and James and John, and the father and the mother of the maiden. And all wept and bewailed her. But he said, Weep not, she is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn, knowing that she was dead. And he put them all out, and took her by the hand, and called, saying, Maid, arise. And her spirit came again, and she arose straightway, and he commanded to give her meat. And her parents were astonished, but he charged them that they should tell no man what was done. I believe that the greatest treasures we have in our homes are our children. You got a couple out here, they fall in love, they get married, and they don't really become a family until they have a child. And that's when responsibility begins, doesn't it? Got any parents here could say amen to that?
Amen.
Yes. Those little ones start off as infants. They have to be fed and nourished and cleaned and changed. And that midnight cry usually keeps you from getting a good night of uninterrupted, undisturbed sleep for a while. Feeding them and changing diapers becomes a priority. But we love our children. Jairus had a child, one little daughter, about 12 years of age. He was concerned about his child. I think every parent should be concerned about their children. They should be concerned about their physical welfare, but they, more than anything else, should be concerned about their spiritual welfare. I would hate to know that I was the father of a child that was grown that did not know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior.
Amen.
That would just drive me bonkers, knowing that they weren't saved.
Amen.
One of life's greatest blessings is when that parent can see their child on their own become spiritually burdened about their soul and see them step out during an invitation at church to make their public profession of faith in Jesus Christ as their personal Savior.
Amen.
And then again, what a joy it is to see them as they follow the Lord in the baptismal waters. Parents are concerned about their children when they pray for their spiritual growth. And my, what a joy it is. What a blessing. When you see that child on its own pick up a Bible, open it up, and begin reading it. And when they come across a difficult passage that they don't understand, they go pull on your apron strings and say, "What does this mean?" And you have a chance to talk to them about the Bible. Parents are concerned about their children when they see them drifting away from the Lord. When they begin to drop out of church. When they begin to associate with children who did not have proper upbringing in the Christian faith. We're concerned when we see them picking up what we call bad habits. Our children face so many temptations and pressures out in the world. Ooh, I'd hate to be, myself, I'd hate to be going to high school nowadays. I really would. You've got everything there that's going on. Sex and drugs and drinking and cursing and children who are selfish and disobedient, disrespectful. Makes us realize that we need the Lord. That's not easy being a parent. And it's not easy being a parent whenever you're a minister. I can talk from experience there. I can sympathize with Jairus here. He was the minister of the synagogue, the overseer of his synagogue there. If we aren't too careful, we can get too busy to be a dad. You can ask my kids about that, because during their growing up days, I worked all day at a secular job and pastored full time a church, and I had too little time for my children. They'll tell you that. They have a much better mother than they have a father. It's better to have a mother who prays than it is to have a father who preaches. That's for sure. Now, this Jairus, very important person, I'm sure that he was quite busy. I've been to his church. Did I tell you that? 20 years ago, I went to Jairus' church there in Capernaum, to his synagogue. I think I've got a picture somewhere of me standing by one of the pillars up near the front of it. And every time I think about him, I associate it with being in that synagogue over there. Not much left of it anymore. He was a busy man. Why, he had sermons to prepare. He had lessons to teach. He had administrative duties. He had prayers to make. He had sick folks to visit and keep up with. But when his only daughter became ill, it really became personal to him. She became the main object of his concern. Nothing was more important to him than her health. I can remember back yonder, Susie, about 30 years ago, I think, when you were a 9-month-old baby girl, and she got sick and was in the hospital for 5 days, and very serious, because during that time, that hospital was filled with little kids about her age, and 5 of them died that week. They were having a funeral a day just about it, and there's our baby laying in there in that bed. And we were concerned. We were really concerned and praying about her. We went to the Lord too. And So she's an answer to our prayers, I'll tell you. Now, we love our children. We want them to have every need met. We want them to do well in school. We want to see them develop emotionally and spiritually and socially. We want them to be happy, want them to feel secure, and especially we want them to love the Lord with all their heart, their mind, their soul, and their strength. And regardless of their age, they are still our children and we're concerned about their welfare. Even though two of ours already are drawing Social Security. My, my. And all but one of them are grandparents already. But we are more concerned with their relationship with God than anything else. We would rather they suffer in body than to have a cold heart against the things of God. We would rather they go through life as paupers and loving God than to have millions of dollars with no concern for the Lord Jesus Christ. I would rather they would be outcast in this world as long as they can have a friend in Jesus that sticks closer than a brother. Doesn't it thrill your soul whenever your children show an interest in the things of God? Like when they initiate a conversation with you about spiritual things. Doesn't happen very often, does it? Not nearly as much as it should. Doesn't it make you feel good whenever they display tenderness and trust toward the Word of God? They begin to quote it for authority. Jairus was concerned about his daughter. He was concerned enough that he would leave her on her sick bed and intercede with her, for her, with Jesus. He knew where to go when she got sick. But not only was he concerned about his daughter, he had confidence in Christ. Somehow he had heard about Jesus there in Capernaum. We don't know what he knew about him. We don't even know what he'd heard about him. I'm sure that he was aware of all of the miracles that this man was doing across the country. That's why he came to Jesus in the first place. He had the faith to believe that Jesus could heal his daughter of her sickness when she was at the point of death. That is, if he could get to him in time. Consider, if you will, here he is. He's a busy man. He's ruler of the synagogue. He's a religious man. And undoubtedly, he is a staunch promoter and defender of his religion, Judaism. And Jesus is associated with an entirely different group over here. But he had the faith to believe that Jesus could heal his daughter who was at the point of death. He's in a precarious position. The ruler of the synagogue. The religious leaders of his day, his peers, the Levites, the priests, the scribes, the lawyers, the Pharisees, and rabbis of other synagogues had no use for Jesus. They considered him a heretic. They called him a blasphemer. They only followed him so they could argue and refute what he was saying. Tried to find fault with his actions and his teachings. But, like Nicodemus in John chapter 3, this ruler of the Jews who came to Jesus by night, remember that? Jairus was persuaded that Jesus could heal his daughter. And he was willing to abandon his own religious prejudices and humble himself before Christ to get help for his child. He came to Jesus. What did he do? He fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him. It was the sickness of his daughter that brought him to Christ. Amazing, isn't it? If she hadn't gotten sick and died, Jairus would have continued on in his Judaism and died without hope and faith in Christ Jesus. Went out into eternity lost. God causes all these things to work together for good to them that love the Lord, to those who are the called according to his purpose. Sometimes it takes tragedy, sickness, the loss of a loved one to bring us back and put us on the right track. So don't knock it. Jairus was concerned about his daughter. But what happens? An interruption takes place. His daughter's on the bed, the deathbed. Crowds of people are thronging around Jesus, and then a woman who has an issue of blood, she's had it for 12 years. What's the hurry? Jairus says, Jesus, come on to my house. But this woman kind of comes along and interrupts his schedule. She touches the hem of his garment and she diverts his attention from Jairus' problem to her problem. And Jesus now is talking to her and he says, woman, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. But at the same time, Jairus is standing here watching this. And this is an affirmation of his faith whenever he sees the power that's present as this woman in faith touches the hem of his garment and is made whole of a disease that she's had for 12 years. She spent all of her living on doctors and was nothing bettered. So Jairus is saying in his mind, this man can surely heal my daughter. If he can do this, he can heal my daughter. But while all this is happening, somebody comes up from Jairus' house with a message. Thy daughter is dead. Trouble not the master. It's the same as saying, too late. Too late. It's like it was when Jesus received a message from Martha and Mary. He says, come to Bethany. your friend Lazarus is sick. By the time Jesus got there, Lazarus had died and had been buried for 4 days. Dead and buried for 4 days. They came running to Jesus, said, "Master, if you had been here, he would not have died." It's too late. But thank God it's never too late with Jesus. Jairus was committed to the cure. His first obstacle was overcome. The delay had wasted precious time. The woman was not about to die, but Jairus' daughter was. But he didn't complain, and he bore no resentment. But he probably felt in his heart, it's too late. It's too late. But you know something? Jesus insisted on going anyway. He told him, "Fear not. Believe only, and she shall be made whole." So when Jesus arrived, he met all of these people there who were weeping and mourning. And he says, "Weep not. She is not dead, but sleepeth." They laughed him to scorn. Now they would not laugh at Jairus in his grief, but he bore the reproach of having Jesus Christ in his home. Also, he bore the delay of Christ in coming. He bore the doubts of his own mind. He bore the derision of those in his own home who knew that she was dead. And you know, it takes a great commitment to Christ to succeed in the faith. Amen. Keep the faith. He entered into that room. There, lying on that deathbed, is the corpse of this little 12-year-old girl. He, Peter, James, and John, the mother and the father then of the child, they were the only ones there. Jesus took hold of her little limp hand and said, "Maid, arise." And she did. She did. She rose up. Her spirit came again, and she arose straightway. Oh, the power of Jesus. Don't you know those parents were astonished? Jesus told them, he says, "Don't tell anybody about what was done. How can you keep from it?" And how did that crowd of mourners react when they saw that 12-year-old girl come bouncing out of that bedroom well and whole and jumping around and hollering at everybody? My, my. If we could bring Jairus before us today and ask him, "Jairus, were those obstacles worth getting Jesus to your house?" What do you think he'd say? Was it worth abandoning your religious prejudices of your synagogue position? Was it worth the humiliation of bowing in the dust before the Lord and begging His help? Was it worth bearing the scorn of those friends who laughed at the impossible idea that your daughter could be revived from the dead? I think you know the answer. Are you concerned about your children? Grandchildren? We've got 11 of those now. 10 great-grandchildren. There's not a day goes by that I don't go to Jesus on behalf of my children and my grandchildren and my great-grandchildren. Do I have confidence in Christ? Sure I do. I have a Bible, and I know it's true, and I know that it works. And by faith, you and I can claim those Bible promises about our children. We're not perfect parents. But I believe if we have a sincere heart and earnestly seek God's help, the grace of God will supply what we lack. You can raise your children to know God. You can raise your children to fear God and to love God and to serve God, because all heaven will help you. Amen. Just ask Jesus. I don't know your heart, your family, but maybe you have a son or a daughter, a grandchild who is dead to God. Don't you believe it? That a soul without Christ is lost? I don't care who it is. I don't care how good the parents are, how righteous or how religious they are. It doesn't rub off. They have to face Christ by themselves and for themselves. We talk a lot about the family circle being complete. I think all of us would like that. Because for some of them, heaven would not be heaven if they were not there. If they're unbelieving, if they're lost, go to Jesus. Amen. Fall down before Him and just lay it out like it is. Lord, my child is lost. My baby doesn't know Jesus. We've got to get concerned about our coming generations. Christianity is waning. There are more and more people that are falling away from the Lord than there are coming to Him, it seems like. We need a generation. I'm speaking to us older folks today. We need a generation to take our place. To do what we are doing or should be doing. Let's stand together. We'll have bow our heads in prayer. Thank you for listening today. Remember Jairus. Oh, what a wonderful guy he was. We'll see him in heaven someday. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning. for the privilege that we have of knowing Christ. And thank you for the privilege that we have of preaching Christ. And thank you for our open Bibles. Thank you for the privilege to come into your presence at any time of the day or night and lay our burdens at your feet, for you care for us. And today, Heavenly Father, there may be parents here, grandparents, who are concerned. They have a burden on their heart for some loved one. I pray today that if they don't, you'll give them one and cause us to spend some time at your throne interceding for them until they are raised from the spiritual death that they're in now. So speak to our hearts today, Lord, and give us of your grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
494.
Sing a verse of this invitation. Someone today may need to come. Today. At 6 o'clock this evening, Brother Sam Burton will be telling us about their recent trip that they made to the mission field in Brazil and visiting some of our missionaries down there, reviewing the need and seeing the work that's being done. So come out tonight for a first-hand report at 6 o'clock, will you? And now we'll ask Brother Sam, if he will, to lead us and dismiss our service in prayer.